Cash Potatoes across the country, around the world, on the radio and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Kristen Dreyer Kramer, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies.
We have another big week in October.
It's crazy.
And we actually have a horror movie to talk about this week.
Yeah, a little bit of something.
Because it's October. Yeah. More horror movie, more scary music during the show. Don't want to drive any listeners away, but we have scary music.
Do we have scary music?
We do have scary music.
Well.
More of that. And I might scare people. I might rip off my clothes and run around in my gotchies.
Oh, geez. See, that the only person that you would scare there is me. So nobody else can see that.
Theater of the mind, people.
And it is terrifying.
Anyways, we are going to be talking about Captain Phillips, which is not a scary movie. We're going to be talking about Machete Kills. Even though it sounds like a scary movie, it's not a scary movie.
It's not?
No.
It could be.
It could be. It sounds like it's like sort of a description of Friday the 13th. What's Friday the 13th about? Machete kills.
Yeah, pretty much.
What's Texas Chainsaw about? Chainsaw kills.
It's true.
Yeah. All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. That is a horror movie.
Yes, it is.
We'll talk about that.
If we remember it.
Sure. It's been a while. Romeo and Juliet, which is not a horror movie, but really should be.
It could be.
And then we're going to be talking about news and DVDs and Blu-rays and all that good stuff. But in the meantime, if you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at fatguys@fatguysatthemovies.com. Leave us a voicemail at 740-205-6456. That's 740-205-6456. You can find us on the internet at fatguysatthemovies.com. And you can get us on Facebook at facebook.com/FGATM. If you want to reach me and yell at me or whatever, or try and scare me, you can go to Twitter at twitter.com/KevinCarr.
And I'm KBK Reviews.
That's right. One of the movies we're going to be talking about is Captain Phillips, and this is just a little bit of tease ahead of what it's about and sort of the background of the movie from our good friend, our very dear friend of
ours.
Dear
friend, yes.
Tom Hanks.
Well, this was fascinating because everything was real. You know, there's a lot of places to conk your head, and the decks hurt your feet after a while because it's just hard metal plates. But it also, it smells a certain way and it sounds a certain way, and you think it's a big ship and you're not going to feel it moving. That thing moves around quite a bit and it's constantly vibrating and whatnot. So it removed an entire task from us, the actors, I think.
Realistic, real movies, which
yes,
could be a good thing, could be a bad thing.
Better for worse.
We'll see. Later in the show, we'll talk about whether the realism of Captain Phillips is good or bad. Anyways, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Let's jump into news.
Let's do that, shall we?
Let's talk. You know, we haven't talked about Star Wars in...
We never talk about Star Wars.
2 weeks.
Ever. Yeah.
I think we didn't talk about it last week.
It's that or Dumb and Dumber 2.
That's right. The two movies. Yeah, is Dumb and Dumber 2 coming out in 2015 as well?
I think it is. Yeah,
I think
probably.
It should, like, fight it yeah. in the box office.
The same weekend.
Who would win? Yes, but the rumor now, or I guess sort of the story, it's not really a rumor... It's that George Lucas is talking with J.J. Abrams, which, again, could be a good thing or a bad thing, depending on where you fall.
It sounds like he's just an advisor. How about that?
Yeah. Well,
he's kind of in the background. He knows the story better than maybe not better than anybody else.
No,
there are a lot of people who know the story backwards and forwards.
He knows what he wants the story to be.
Yes.
But, you know, it's his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not anymore. It's Disney's stuff.
Right.
But here's what you're starting to see happen with Star Wars news is you're starting to see people exhibiting their reservations about doing new movies and who's doing them and what they're going to do. And the fact that the sort of that honeymoon period of we're going to get new Star Wars movies and it's going to be managed by a company that knows how to manage franchises, that has worn off. And
I
now,
think right now it's just cautious optimism. That is kind of how it's going.
I've seen some cautious pessimism.
Well, yeah, there's that too. But I think if people are keeping their fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's about all we can do.
But I find it hilarious where people are like, this has really upset some people that George Lucas is still talking to J.J. Abrams, like having long conversations about what's going on.
Well, why would he not?
Yeah, he's George Lucas.
It's George Lucas.
And I mean, Disney... Will it does own everything now, but they're not going to be like, no, George, you are shut out.
Yeah, it's George Lucas's baby. Yeah. There's nothing you can do about that. Yeah. You will have to pry Star Wars out of his cold dead hands, pretty much.
Yeah, and I mean, you're not going to get Wookiee Mouse in this movie or anything like that. You're not going to get lens flares all over the place.
I would like Wookiee Mouse.
Wookiee Mouse would be a great cartoon.
I think that's coming.
Take note, Disney.
Yes.
Wookiee Mouse.
Wookiee Mouse.
So yeah, I mean, it's happening. This is really not, it's sort of a non-news item, but it's interesting. I think it's kind of cool that George Lucas is still involved.
Oh yeah.
Because if you look back at, say, Empire Strikes Back, he was that kind of
right.
advisor. He
mm-hmm.
was. He didn't direct it.
No.
And you ended up with a pretty good movie out of it.
Exactly.
So there's that.
So I'm cool with it.
Yeah. We approve. Yes. George Lucas, J.J. Abrams, you have earned the fat guy seal of approval. Anyways, the next news story.
Right along.
You've got something that you
yes,
want to talk about.
Something that popped up this week. There is a movie coming up called Russ and Roger Go Beyond. Mm. And that is about Roger Ebert and Russ Meyer.
Yes.
And the making of Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Can I just make a statement here?
No.
To begin with?
Mm-mm, no.
There had better be plenty of female flesh and breastilages going on.
I am sure there will be.
Well, you never know. You never know.
It's about a campy movie from 1970 in the making of. So, you know, there's got to be some. Ebert, come on.
Have you seen Beyond the Valley of the Dolls?
I haven't.
Oh.
I know of it.
Oh, and you should see it.
And before this movie comes out, I will definitely see it.
And you should be drunk.
Okay.
I'm not talking about drinking during the movie.
I have to start drunk? Like,
yeah.
Like a day before?
Well, sure.
Start drinking early.
I don't know if you should be taking care of your child at that time for the entire day.
I'll call my parents. They can come in for the weekend.
But at least have a warm-up movie before it.
Mom, can you come for the weekend? I'm going to be drunk. Thank you.
You have plans? Yes, drinking.
Yes.
Just give me, like, a gallon of vodka and a hose.
Yeah.
But no, Beyond the Valley of the Dolls is wackadoodle.
Yes, that's what I've heard.
It is insane. And it has the most bizarre ending. It's so 70s.
And this was from back in the day when Ebert was pretty much nobody.
Yeah.
He was just a little kind of third string film critic at a newspaper, and that was it.
And a lot of people know, he wrote the screenplay for
right.
this.
Mm-hmm.
What's hilarious about it is if you were to go back and find, I don't remember, I didn't see any of his later books, but back in the 80s and 90s, he would publish these massive thick paperbacks of 5 million films reviewed by Roger Ebert.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, and he gave a review of the movie he wrote.
Awesome. And what did he say about it?
5 stars.
Really?
Greatest satirical movie ever. It's not that good. It's really funny for sort of that bizarre 60s turned into 70s,
mm-hmm.
where they said, well, the 60s are weird. Oh, just wait. The 70s are coming. That is what Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. It has nothing to do with Valley of the Dolls, by the way.
No. It's completely a parody of it, pretty much, from what I've heard.
But even then, what's so bizarre about it is I've seen both of them. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of seen them both, like, back to back. It doesn't even play as a parody of Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. It doesn't have the sort of drag queen endearance of Beyond the of Valley of the Dolls that has. Beyond the Valley of the Dolls is just, you know, it is
crazy.
It's the Troll 2.
Nice.
Of weird, campy 60s movies.
So there you have it.
Made
so if you were looking for a Roger Ebert biopic,
there you are.
Here you go.
Because the rest of his life would be just boring.
Well, yeah. We know what he does.
Yeah.
He did. He sat in movie theaters in the dark. And yeah. That was about it.
This is going to be just like...
Although I think that we could have a pretty good biopic. I think we could.
I think we
could. Well, you know, we've talked about that for years, about having a reality TV show just based on our lives. And all of the film critics around us.
You can have pictures. Well, they need to have where I'm like yelling at people in the movie theaters and trying to get people kicked out.
See, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
And I think people would enjoy it.
I could. You know what I should do? I should try and figure this out. We should do something where, remember how Uwe Boll like challenged people to boxing matches?
Yes, I do.
Critics.
Mm-hmm.
And he always picked like the most out of shape doughy critics. I challenged him to an eating contest and he refused.
Mm-hmm.
Like actually got the refusal from the publicist.
Nice.
But I think I should challenge people who use their phones in theaters to like a boxing match.
Hmm.
Or maybe just an arm wrestling match. Or maybe just putting my armpit in their face to see who can last the longest smelling it after I like have been watching movies for 24 hours.
Okay.
That news story completely went off the rails. Let's hit this last one here. This is a shenanigans I'm calling on I don't know who
you are calling shenanigans. Esquire magazine.
Esquire magazine.
You're welcome.
This was in L.A. Times, but it's reported elsewhere. Apparently, they claim that Scarlett Johansson is the sexiest woman alive. Shenanigans.
You know what? I can buy into that.
She's good looking.
She is not the smartest woman alive, but I'll take sexiest woman alive.
I don't know. There's some sexier women out there. You know, I mean, like you know, I've seen, like if you really want to like go into like some of the, you know, I was at a Mexican restaurant last night.
Oh, so the sexiest woman alive was at the Mexican restaurant?
Not at the Mexican restaurant, but on like Mexican television. Holy cow! Have you watched Mexican television?
Only the clips that they show on The Soup.
It's amazing. Hmm. There's a lot of jiggling going on. Anyways, we got to jiggle on out of here. When we come back, we're going to talk about Machete Kills and All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Hello.
We're jumping right into movie reviews.
Let's do that.
Boom. Like ninjas.
Oh, we're jumping back to 2007.
Well, yeah, I guess so. The first movie we're going to be talking about has been on the shelf for, what, is that 6 years?
It was 2007. I looked it up this morning. Yes.
All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. Amber Heard stars as a high school ugly duckling who becomes the object of all the boys' affection over the summer, which leads into a slasher movie.
And why would it not?
There she is, boys. Mandy Lane. Untouched. Pure. Since the dawn of junior year, men have tried to possess her, and to date, all have failed.
You seem different.
It's because I hit him.
Somebody's out there.
There's nobody out there.
Nobody around for miles.
The story behind this is funny because we got a press screening of this.
We did.
In 2007.
Right.
And like, I got home from the press screening, checked my email, and they're like, it's not being released.
Yeah. It's been bumped. We'll let you know.
Yeah. And it just never came out. Yeah. It became more famous for not coming out.
Yeah.
Because it was Jonathan Levine. Isn't he the director?
I believe so, yeah.
He did The Wackness, but more importantly, mm-hmm. he did 50-50. Which was a good movie.
Yeah.
Like what, back in 2011?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to sort of dust off our memories to see this movie.
I had to go back and read my review again.
What did you? You wrote a review. I didn't review it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got home. I'm like, why bother? It's not coming out. Yeah. What'd you think?
I actually quite enjoyed it.
Of course you did.
I did. And we were actually talking about this last week, our memories from the screening, which, you know, was an age ago, and how one of the critics from the local daily walked out and she just loved it.
She's not the kind of person you'd expect to love.
No, she's like a theater critic and, you know, a book critic, which, hey, I'll take that. But no, she just loved it. She was rolling in the aisles after she walked out. And I was right there with her.
Really?
I thought it was really surprisingly. It's corny and ridiculous and totally cliched, but in all the right ways.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay. See, I didn't like it.
No?
No. And I think part of it was it just felt too standard and predictable for me. Part of it's because I see horror movies all the time.
Yeah.
So any sort of twists and turns that I heard people raving about, I'm kind of like, well, I kind of saw that coming a mile away.
Well, sure. But I like the idea of it.
Sure.
I think the idea is very clever.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd be curious, since we haven't seen it in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious to see how it holds up, because horror in general very different back then.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've had the extreme horror come out with stuff like A Serbian Film and Human Centipede. And then we've also had sort of the send-ups of the horror genre, like Your Next, which recently came out, and Cabin in the Woods, these movies that deconstruct it. I'd be curious to see this movie again to see how it holds up in sort of like the modern horror
and age. It's not an intense, over-the-top kind of thing.
No.
It takes a while to build up. Yeah. It's a little bit slow at times. It's not totally over-the-top, but it's just fun.
I liked it better than The Wackness.
Well, there you go.
Then again, I hated The Wackness. I'm giving it a kind of sucks.
I'm going to say it kind of rocks.
That's okay. You're allowed.
Thanks.
Yes. We'll move on.
Thank you
to
for
the
your
next
permission.
Movie. There you are. That's what we do in this show. We allow everybody to have an opinion.
Right.
And then berate them for it.
Exactly.
You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. Next up is Machete Kills.
Ooh, I like that. That was very good. Can you do that again?
I've been working on that.
Can
Machete
that?
Kills.
That was good.
And next, Machete Kills again. All right. Let's hear about this movie.
Okay, Machete Kills. Danny Trejo returns as the former Mexican federal agent who's recruited by the U.S. government to track a ruthless arms dealer.
This machete. Trained to kill. Left for dead.
Machete!
Back for more.
Taco time.
Danny Trejo. Michelle Rodriguez, Sofia Vergara, and introducing Carlos Estevez.
I'm the President of the United States, man.
Machete Kills.
Machete!
There you have it.
And who plays the ruthless arm dealer? Mel Gibson.
And why not?
Why not? It was funny. Danny Trejo talks about this in some interviews. We got a clip of him talking about not just the use of Mel Gibson, but the extreme nature of the movie.
I'm trying to figure out what they're going to do for Machete 3, because this has literally everything. We've got, you know, I have a sword fight with Mel Gibson, you know, and I remember when Robert said, action, I threw down my sword. And Robert said, why are you throwing down your sword, Danny? I said, I'm not fighting William Wallace. Are you kidding? He saved Scotland.
Seriously, how awesome is Danny Trejo?
He's great.
I love this guy.
I've never met him, but I want to.
I know. He seems like he would be the coolest guy in the world.
Yeah. And what's great is I know this movie's probably terrible. They did not screen it for us. It was very limited screening. It's not getting very good reviews.
Well,
not a big surprise.
Know.
But it's one of those that, you know, I hear Trejo doing these interviews and he's just like, it's the greatest movie ever.
And why not?
He's so excited about it.
You know, I'm just glad that people know his name now. Mm-hmm. You know, for years, he was just that guy. You know, that guy.
That Mexican guy with the big tattoo.
Yeah. And I love him. He is, anything he is in, he just gives it 150%.
Yeah. Even like Desperate Housewives.
Oh, yeah.
He was in that.
I know he was. He was awesome.
Do you know, here's an interesting fact about Danny Trejo. He is 69 years old.
Are you kidding me?
He's 69. He can have like four AARP cards. He has an AARP card.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
See, now I love him even more.
It's amazing. I'm sure he dyes his hair. I would love to see what he would look like if he didn't dye his hair.
Wow.
But I mean, he's all wrinkled and stuff, but he was wrinkled when he was like in Runaway Train
in
the 80s.
Yeah.
So.
He's weathered.
Yes. He has had a rough life.
Yes.
The other thing about this is, you know who plays the president in this movie?
Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Estevez. And this is what Danny Trejo has to say about him.
Charlie Sheen, who plays the President of the United States, who is an amazing actor. He plays the president, and in one scene, he jumps up and yells, I'm the President of the United States. He was so convincing that you could almost hear the big ships going, dun, 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 and shooting, you know, on Iwo Jima. It was amazing.
What I love about this is that we have so many clips of Danny Trejo just basically saying everybody's a great actor. Lady Gaga, great actor.
Charlie Sheen is the greatest actor.
Charlie Sheen is an awesome actor. I mean, I was trying to find a clip of him talking about Sofia Vergara, who is so overexposed right now. I am as tired of seeing her breasts as I am of seeing Miley Cyrus's tongue.
She has a clothing line at Kmart.
Oh, my Lord. Does it include machine guns on her?
I hope so. Because that'll give me a good reason to go to Kmart.
You're like, I hope so, because I got to get my Halloween costume.
Yes.
I'm going to be slutty Sofia Vergara. That's who I should go for Halloween as.
I would pay to see that. I would pay not to see that, actually.
Yeah, I think you probably
now
would.
Now that I think about it.
I don't know. Are you at all interested in seeing this?
I saw the first one.
Did you like it?
It was all right.
I thought it was
amusing.
It worked better as a trailer.
Yeah, that's true.
I have heard about this one is a lot of the reviews, especially the ones coming out of Fantastic Fest, is it's just like, it's too much. It's kind of gotten, it's sort of circling itself.
And that has, you know, it's Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what he's been doing lately.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
It's the snake eating its tail.
Yeah.
And then there's one day it's just going to poof and be gone.
Yes.
All right. We got to go to a break. This gets a preemptive suck.
Yes, it does.
When we come back, we're going to talk Captain Phillips and Romeo and Juliet.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kristen Dreyer Kramer and Kevin Carr.
Boo!
Nice.
That was my scary.
And happy Halloween to you all.
Yay.
Yeah. So we've been talking about movies that either we haven't seen or movies that we haven't seen in 6 years.
Yeah.
Let's talk about something that we have seen somewhat recently, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
Let's talk about Captain Phillips.
Oi!
Director Paul Greengrass takes his handy cams to sea to tell the true story of an American captain's struggle against Somali pirates.
This is Mask, Alabama.
We are an unarmed freighter. We have two skiffs approaching with armed intruders.
Potential piracy situation.
Listen up. We have been boarded by armed pirates. If they find you.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Remember, you know the ship. They don't.
Everything gonna be okay. Look at me.
Sure.
Look at me.
Sure.
I'm the captain now.
I wanted this movie to be about Popeye.
Popeye.
That would have been awesome. If he would have just, Tom Hanks done.
If he would have eaten spinach at some point, you would have been okay with it?
Oh, that would have been. And suddenly, like, he'd stretch his arm, and you'd see, like, a big bubble go down his arm. Bing!
I can see Tom Hanks as Popeye.
What he should have done is he should have done, like, the beginning of it, and the second the Somali pirates board, he should have just turned into Popeye.
Nice.
Hey, cool. What are you doing?
Oh, jeez. That was a really good Popeye impersonation. That was shockingly good.
I've worked on that for years.
I'm sure you have.
All right. You first. What would you think of Captain Phillips? Captain Popeye Phillips.
This is tough because I absolutely dread Paul Greengrass films. I do. Because I have spent so many hours watching Paul Greengrass films feeling absolutely sick.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely horribly sick. In fact, I was talking to the rep after the screening of this movie, and I was telling him how I'm planning a Kickstarter campaign to buy Paul Greengrass a couple of tripods.
Okay. Because you would just pick him up. He'd be carrying tripods around. That would be hilarious. I'd love to see the behind the scenes, and they go, well, you had tripods. Yeah. They helped wake down the camera better.
I know. Because that's my complaint with Paul Greengrass. Hmm. This guy has the shaky cam like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he clearly just, like, hires cameramen who have caffeine problems. So anyway, this is a shaky movie.
Yeah.
Sometimes appropriately so. I will give it that much.
It is on a boat.
You know, it's on a boat, and which terrified me even more. I was like, great. Paul Greengrass can't even keep a camera straight on dry ground.
Yeah.
Put Paul Greengrass on a boat, we're all in serious trouble.
See, that's where it didn't bother me. It was the stuff. There was some stuff at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
which is needlessly shaky because
exactly.
it's him. But, you know, like when they're on the Somali beach, and right. that doesn't need to be shaky. They're in a
car. You don't need to be shaken around. And you don't need quick shots of, like, Tom Hanks' ear and Catherine Keener's hair and somebody's shoulder and a rearview mirror. And it's just like, slow down for 5 seconds.
What was weird is when they actually were on the bridge, I didn't feel the shaky cam that much at all.
Hmm.
And it wasn't until the pirates show up that things start getting a little more frenetic.
Yeah. Which, again, there's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it feel chaotic and frantic. And mm-hmm. I'll take that.
Okay.
It still made me sick, and it took me, like, 24 hours to recover.
Wow.
But it's bad.
I didn't think it was. See, what's funny is I thought Green Zone was overdone.
Mm-hmm.
That was his last film.
Mm-hmm.
The Bourne movies, I recognize they were, the two that he did, they were problematic, but they didn't bother me. United 93, I absolutely loved, and I thought it was very appropriate how they used it. Mm-hmm. Although I remember when I saw that movie, the rep threw up.
Yes.
It. Well, she left the room and threw up.
And, well, that was polite of her.
So, yeah, she wasn't just sitting there in the front row, and you see the spray come up on screen.
You know, when I was at this screening, I was driving home, and it wasn't far from my house,
mm-hmm.
and I was on the way home, and I actually pulled up to a stoplight, and just as I was pulling up, there was somebody in the next lane in a minivan, and there was this woman.
Were they Somalis? Because we got a lot of Somalis in Columbus.
No, there was this woman who was just getting back into her minivan. I'm like, that's weird. She stopped at a light and got out of her van, and I was like, I wonder if she threw up. And I looked, I was like, oh, yeah, she did. I'm like,
nice.
I wonder if she was at the same screening I was.
Nice.
Yeah. So
outside of the frenetic nature,
outside of the shaky cam, this is actually a good movie. I have to give it to him. It's it's well done. It has some times when it's a little slow. It drags a little bit in the middle, and it's longer than it needs to be. But it's tense and suspenseful. And even though you kind of know what's going to happen in the end, it's well done.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks, how great is this guy? We haven't seen him in a really standout role in years.
What I loved about him in this movie
mm-hmm.
is he downplayed the character. This movie is not filled with Oscar clips.
No.
And in fact, when we're getting near the end, I'm like, he does such a good job that, but you said that, and you're like, it's not one of those movies where, it's not like when Meryl Streep did that, you know, she did Julia Childs and then she did Margaret Thatcher. So there's these things that are almost caricatures.
There are no caricatures in this. He's just a regular good guy.
And then there's a scene, and this is his Oscar clip, and he'll get the Oscar nomination, I predict.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the scene that's going to be used. And it just blew me away. I mean, I was in tears. I was like, it came out of nowhere.
In the end?
Yeah. And it was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw it ramping up into it, I was like, oh, because this is somewhat anticlimactic. But no, it was so necessary for the character.
Yeah.
Because of things that went through. And I don't want to talk too much about it, but it's there. But you don't have him yelling in the middle of the movie, like, you can't take my ship, arg! And, you know, throwing tridents and stuff like that at anybody.
Tridents, even.
That would be cool. He should have had a trident. With an eye patch and a crown.
This is turning into a fascinating movie.
And fabulous mermaid dress in the front. He's like, okay, I'm ready to take on these pirates.
And olive oil.
Bring them on here, yes. I love this movie. I absolutely love this movie. It's one of my favorite of the year. We have in my opinion, he had a fantastic 1-2 punch. Whereas over the year, I've been kind of like, ho-hum
is usually the term that we use, yes.
Oh, well, whatever. Dyslexia in common terms. I've been ho-hum about a lot of movies in 2013, mm-hmm. and nothing's really knocked my socks off. And then we had Gravity and Captain Phillips, and I was like, bam, bam. That's like the two greatest weeks of movies this year, at least I think.
So far, yep.
Well, yeah, who knows? We got, we got the Starving Games coming up.
I hear we've got some awesome movies coming up, including the Starving Games.
Starving Games. Mm. But no, I love this movie. I thought it was fantastic. Absolutely loved it.
So I'm saying your grade is...
It totally rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Totally rocks.
I, with reservations, will say this movie rocks.
Like, you're like, it rocks, but bring your Dramamine.
Well, yes. And I totally would have, but Dramamine puts me to sleep. So, so much for that idea. I just brought lots of water, and I did kind of want to go to McDonald's across the street and have some French fries afterwards.
Okay.
Just, just to calm my stomach
a little bit. French fries settle your stomach?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I would throw up if I if I was nauseated and I went and had French fries.
Mm-hmm. French fries.
It would be a French fry rainbow.
No, it's the perfect hangover food. Get up in the morning and have some French fries. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
All right, well,
anyway.
A little snapshot into your life.
There you go.
All right, you're listening to Fat Guys in the Movies with Kevin Garr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer. We're just going to breeze through this last one because who really cares? It's Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Giant reptiles from outer space attack Washington, D.C., and star-crossed lovers create massive robots to fight them.
What lady's that?
I never saw true beauty till this night.
The man Juliet is with is a Montague.
Juliet is a Capulet. The Montagues and Capulets are mortal enemies.
Juliet. If your heart, like mine, is full, then tell the joy that waits us this night.
We cannot tell of what is limitless.
I love this movie. I love the movie that you wrote about.
Spoiler alert, there are no robots or aliens or Washington, D.C. It doesn't even exist during this movie. This is just, who doesn't know Romeo and Juliet?
We've all read it. Or at least we were supposed to read it
at some
point.
Or we've seen movies. There was Romeo and Juliet not too long ago.
Right.
West Side Story with the most straight-laced street gangs ever.
We saw the original Romeo and Juliet, like the one from the 60s or 70s when I was in school. And our teacher actually had certain scenes timed out exactly so they could turn off the TV while they were going through like the love scenes.
Oh, the Zeffirelli
awesome.
One? Because there was nudity what's her name?
Right.
The my favorite part of Romeo and Juliet, it's a Romeo and Juliet movie. It looks terrible. It looks like it's done for cable. But somebody said to me once, I saw the original Romeo and Juliet. And she was like 18. I said, well, which one was that? And she's like, the one with Claire Danes. I'm like, yes. I think the original was the one that was written by William
Shakespeare.
The one with Shakespeare? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. This one, I'm getting preemptive suck because they didn't screen it for
right.
us. Anyways, we got to go to a break. When we come back, DVD roundup and box office.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies with Kevin Carr and Kristen Dreyer Kramer.
You should have heard the discussion we had off the air.
We just had a great discussion.
Stupid teenagers. That's basically what the discussion was about. And how they don't understand how biology works.
No.
Put two and two together on that one for yourself.
Yeah. Discuss amongst yourselves. Yeah. We'll go and move on to some movie stuff.
Let's talk about box office.
Let's do that.
Holy cow!
Yes, I second that.
What happened?
I... I don't know.
We both lowballed Gravity like there was nobody's business.
And I will admit that my gut said higher than I gave it, but whoa, you not were, that high.
Yeah, you would have never given 56 that a second no. 56 million.
I don't think so.
You said 32 million, I said 25 million. We kind of were both way off on this.
We were
one.
Way off.
I mean, it was like made more than twice what I said, almost mm-hmm. made twice what you said. That's a huge that's huge. And I didn't think it would do that well because even though it had these two big stars in it, it wasn't
the big kind of blockbuster kind of movie.
Yeah, and maybe if it had come out like closer into award season, these kind of like Lincoln came out like in November.
Right.
And that wasn't one that you normally expect people to flock to, but it did extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
Gravity, I think it's just early for award season on this one, and it's a fantastic movie.
Or maybe people thought it was a different movie than it is.
Yeah, maybe.
Which is fine, because that pulls them in, and they'll realize how great it actually is.
They were pulled in by the force of gravity, is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
I had to throw that in there.
Mm-hmm. I knew that was coming at some point.
We'll see what happens next weekend, if it drops. But the thing is, it did very well in the early part of the weekend, and it had a great multiplier.
Oh,
it had
a
3-something multiplier, mm-hmm. which to me says the word of mouth was good.
And it's still holding strong throughout the week.
Oh, yeah. Did very well in the beginning week. So, yeah, we're looking at huge numbers for Gravity. And it does have that star power. I think it's one of those cases where having George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, recognizable names, popular names, help.
It can't hurt. Really.
If it was like Sam Rockwell and, you know, some, you know.
I'm
Emily
waiting
Blunt.
For a name here.
I'm trying to come to somebody who's like, could headline a movie, but.
You know, half of Hollywood was supposed to be in this movie. Like,
really?
Everybody dropped out of this movie.
There's
it was
like
supposed
only
to be
two
like
people on screen.
Angelina Jolie was going to star in it.
Oh, pfft,
and she turned it down at two different times. Hmm. And
she had to go
Robert
steal a child
Downey Jr.
Africa.
Was going to be in it. Yes.
In a spacesuit that had like a little rocket boosters on it?
Sure.
That would have been not very good, but go on.
I know. I was like, I really? Know. That's a little too close.
So he would have basically played Robert Downey Jr. instead of George Clooney.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but $56 million for Gravity. Huge, huge numbers.
Very
Cloudy
impressive.
With a Chance of Meatballs held pretty well with $21 million.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at 60. Then Runner made less money than Gravity did in like 24 hours.
Seriously.
Runner did 7.7
on Tuesday.
Like I think Gravity made like 6.7 on Monday.
It did.
So it's almost what Runner did the entire weekend.
7.7.
Here's the thing with
Good
Runner.
Job,
you know why I think it didn't do well?
Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It has John Ralphio from Parks and Rec in this movie.
Oh, and that's the reason?
And they did not headline that. And they should have had him as John Ralphio. Because he is the worst.
Well, there you go.
You need to watch Parks and Rec.
Clearly I do.
Runner just tanked. And then we go down the list. What's interesting, Instructions Not Included actually got bumped off finally after weeks. But then Pulling Strings.
Yes, which is another Mexican-American rom-com.
Yeah. Came in at 9th with $2.5 million, which is huge for sort of bilingual.
Yes, and how
marketing.
Awesome is that? That's great.
Good for the Mexicans.
I'm all for it.
Going to see their movies. What was that? You just said a smile. You're like, I'll wait for you to get in trouble with that one.
No, maybe next week that bodes well for Machete Kills.
That's true.
It could happen.
Who knows? Everything else just kind of rolled down there. Enough Said popped into the top 10 mm-hmm. with $2.2 million at number 10. Dario Argento's Dracula 3D made $3,085.
$3,000.
I like have
right on.
More money to my name than Dario Argento's Dracula does. At least after payday. Anyways, it was in 6 theaters, which is a 514 per screen average for the weekend, which isn't the worst, but it's not very good.
It's not very good, no.
So anyways, that's what you get. Box office. What do you think is going to win this weekend?
Oh.
Ah,
this is a tough one. I don't know.
I don't know. Do you think Captain Phillips has what it takes to knock out the other award contender?
Gravity. I don't think so.
Really?
I think I'm going to give it to Gravity.
What are you going to say, Gravity?
I'm going to go Gravity at 29.
29 million. I am going to say Captain Phillips at 32.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Captain Phillips is going to do well. I think it's getting a lot of good buzz.
Yeah.
And I just think Machete is so niche.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody cares about that.
No.
Maybe Romeo and Juliet will make $500 million this weekend.
Don't count on it.
Or maybe Jessica Alba will come and give me a lap dance. One of those two.
Probably more likely.
We'll call Jessica. Jesse, come here. What was that?
I don't know.
I didn't even get creepy with that one. It was like
just kind of weird.
It was like a Mr. Rogers. Hey, what's up, Jessica? How about a lap dance? I'm whipping my hair back and
geez,
forth.
You are.
Just
terrible.
Like Willow Smith.
Asking Jessica Alba for a lap dance.
Well, who knows?
That is...
Teach your own. Man.
There is just all kinds of creepy going on in this right now.
Let's move on.
I would like to move on right now.
All right. You're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies with Chris and Dreyer Kramer, Kevin Carr. Next, we have a segment we like to call the world famous...
DVD Roundup.
Yeehaw!
Woo!
There's a lot of stuff.
There is a ton.
So let's just move
let's
into this
dig in.
Really quickly. In terms of the movies that are out, you've got Hangover Part 3.
Woo.
Which I dropped my pen.
Yeah.
Which I said... What I liked about this movie is it was everything the second movie wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
A new movie.
Yes. It's true.
I rewatched it. It's not... I mean, it holds up. I mean, a lot of people didn't like it.
It's not bad.
It's different, at least.
It's better than the second one.
It all depends on how much you like Ken Jeong.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of him in this movie.
Yes. And he gets to be a little bit much.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
But I like Ken Jeong. It's like Larry the Cable Guy in the Cars movies. If you hate Larry the Cable Guy, you're going to hate the Cars movies.
It's true.
So if you hate Ken Jeong, or if you don't like, if Zach Galifianakis is getting on your nerves,
yes,
that's gonna not make you like The Hangover Part 3.
Two strikes right there.
But I enjoyed it. There's also The Purge,
mm-hmm.
which was interesting because it came out the day the government shut down.
Nice.
No, wait, no. It came it was a week, but I got it and I watched it the day that the government shut down, which was interesting because it's about there being no authority for 20 or 12 hours.
Right.
It's okay. We talked about it before. Mm-hmm. There's Much Ado About Nothing.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Joss Whedon's micro-budget Shakespeare.
Shot in his home.
Probably better than Romeo and Juliet.
It's a really good bet.
Curse of Chucky, which is also included in the Chucky collection.
Awesome.
And for those who follow the Chucky movies, they kind of go back to this a straight horror movie
mm-hmm.
with a killer doll as opposed to this bizarre Bride of Chucky, Jennifer Tilly.
Right.
Just off the rails goofy movie. The Exorcist, the 40th anniversary, which is pretty much the exact same release that they had 3 years ago.
Right.
The difference is they have a 30, because it's the theatrical disc, and it's the literally the exact same discs.
Oh, great.
The theatrical and the director's cut. So if you haven't gotten it yet, this is a good time to get it.
Okay.
I wouldn't buy it if you already have the Blu-ray from 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
but they do have a bonus disc that has a couple, like a thing about William Peter Blatty looking back on writing it, and they also have interviews with the guy who they based Father Marin on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some new content, but not really enough to buy if you already got it.
Still, however... The most terrifying movie ever.
It's great.
Yes.
Such a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Monty Python's The Meaning of Life is on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like Monty Python and you like their...
I'm a big fan of Monty Python.
Their more extreme humor
yes.
in this one. That's it on the... Oh, there's also Europa Report, which wasn't a bad little movie about a trip to Europa gone horribly wrong. An interesting use of found footage.
Yes.
Then we're into the TV shows. One that just recently premiered this week in its third season is the American Horror Story. The American Horror Story Asylum, which is season 2,
mm-hmm.
is out. Here's a little clip from that.
Please, Doctor, you must tell me, what are these creatures?
All in good time.
You're a murderer!
Shut up!
It is 1964, for God's sake, an exorcism.
Times may have changed, Doctor, but the nature of evil has not.
Do you watch those at all?
That's one wacky clip.
It is a wacky clip. Do you watch The American Horror Story at all?
I don't. And that was another one that, you know, it started and everybody got into it and they're like, oh, you've got to watch it. I'm like, it's too late.
Part of the thing, well, each season is its own story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a continuous story.
Yeah.
They're new stories. So you can watch any of them out of sequence. What I don't like about it is they just throw so much in here. I mean, they got exorcism and they've got murder and they've got serial killers and they've got like alien abductions and they got zombies. And it's just like, it's too much. I think Ryan...
It's kind of like the Once Upon a Time of horror.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good way of saying it. By the way, did you see the Once Upon a Time news? I'll tell you off the air. I can't exactly mention it here. A couple other ones. You've got Bones Season 8 is available.
Mm-hmm.
Psych Season 7.
Which is wonderful.
A good show.
I love Psych.
White Collar Season 4. And then the stinker of the week is After Earth with Will and
really?
Jane Smith.
I'm surprised that you would give this one the stinker of the week. I just can't imagine.
You're here going, well, I didn't hear it in the earlier discussion.
Oh, that's so strange.
Where did it come from?
Hmm.
It's about nepotism and bad acting. Anyways, we gotta go. We gotta roll into
Whoa,
the review roundup wrap up. Captain Phillips, we both said rocks. Machete Kills gets a preemptive suck. All the Bullies Love Mandy Lane.
Kinda rocks.
Kinda rocks. I said kinda sucks. And then Romeo and Juliet gets a preemptive suck. They didn't screen it. Next week, Carrie, Escape Plan, The Fifth Estate, and All is Lost.
See ya.